And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. It is your favorite bearded podcast hosts. You have Jordan and Lane.
Hi. I like the DX throwback right there.
Well, you know, some people will appreciate that. Some people will be like, well, what are you talking about? But, you know, for the ones that do, it's worth it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we are back for another week. Thank you again for coming back and listening to us ramble about nonsense that we enjoy so much. If you haven't already, before we get rolling, please, our social media platforms on Facebook and Twitter, Spartans, Wolverines, Beards Podcast, please like us, follow us, leave us some comments, retweet our episodes when they come out, share our episodes when they come out, anything you can do to help us branch out. Whatever platform you're listening into is on, whether it's Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your streaming choice is, please subscribe and give us that 5-star review. That helps our algorithm to get out there to more people when they're searching for podcasts. It helps us grow a little bit. And also, thank you to the Watershed Voice. And if you have not, please check out Watershed Voice. They are the source for all local news and politics and pretty much anything going on in the world. Watershed Voice is your place to go, especially here locally, St. Joe County. They really hit on all the stuff, and it's really a really friendly price.
Yeah, and really to add on to that too, Jordan, if you guys aren't aware, we're not also the only podcast that's on Watershed Voice. For example, I Can Marvel All Day, Shannon Hoagie, Hoagie and I have been in contact. If you guys haven't yet, make sure you check them out. If you're a Marvel kind of comic book fodder movie fan like Jordan and I are, that's definitely a podcast for you guys. They break really a bevy of all kinds of things down in the Marvel world, so it's pretty sweet.
Yep, definitely. I mean, I'm a movie buff, so that's always a good time. I could quote movies back and forth all day long. So, and
you could Marvel.
Oh man, I love the shameless plug.
See what I did there?
Okay, before we get down too much of a rabbit hole here, our episode this week, we're going to preview, or I guess recap, last week's high school playoff action. And for the time being, we will table it, given all the COVID stuff going on. But we will recap everything that happened last week, some big wins for our local teams in their push for a state title. And we hope that that continues. But we will recap that. We will recap the embarrassments. Is that the word we're using? Are the Spartans and Wolverines. They both lose again. They both lose convincingly. They both lose ugly. It's not a good time in the state of Michigan for college sports right now. Well, I guess that's not true. It's not just not a good time in East Lansing and Ann Arbor right now. So we'll touch on that. We're also going to hit a couple, being that we're halfway through, what our thoughts are for the ceilings for the rest of the year and what we have to do to get to those ceilings, and maybe a few other random thoughts. And then we will do our pick 'em segment, which I am dominating.
The 4.8.
Halfway point, 4 points is pretty big.
Calm down now. It could all change.
Feeling confident. And then wrap the show, we will discuss the Lions, just continuing to do Lions things and ruining draft picks. So before we get into that, Lane, why don't you touch on our news? We have all the NBA trade deadline, I guess, craziness that happened last night.
Yeah, so tomorrow is, when this airs, it'll be on Wednesday night. So tomorrow night, or today when this airs, is the NBA draft. And because of all the COVID stuff, the NBA offseason got pushed off and kind of convinced. So yesterday was the opening of trades, and there were some decent trades out there. Jrue Holiday getting traded to the Milwaukee Bucks for 3 first-round draft picks and a couple of draft swaps, plus Eric Bledsoe and George Hill to the New Orleans Pelicans. That's a haul for New Orleans, considering last summer they traded away AD and picked up their core of Ingram, Lonzo, Josh Hart, plus another bevy of first-round draft picks. So David Griffin, former Cleveland Cavalier GM, is absolutely killing it right now for the New Orleans Pelicans. And then also you had Chris Paul, the shifty vet, get traded to Phoenix to help shore up their backcourt and kind of provide some leadership and maybe a push for Booker and Ayton. Another GM, Sam Presti, absolutely killing his rebuild for Oklahoma City. If you guys aren't familiar, Chris Paul really carried Oklahoma City last year to the playoffs and almost pulled off some impressive upsets in the playoffs. So it's going to be interesting. Like I said, draft is here. A lot of speculation on who's going number one. I personally, I think you're going to see a God, why am I forgetting his name? I'm blanking on his
name.
I'm
no help here with NBA stuff, so.
God, I don't know why I'm blanking, man. LaMelo Ball will go one, I think, to Minneapolis. And the Pistons are at seven. That's kind of an interesting pick. And then I'm also a Knicks fan. The Knicks are at eight. So, I don't know. Draft night's usually kind of a holiday in our household, so I'll be glued to the TV tomorrow night watching that. But one big rumor before the draft is that James Harden is wanting out of Houston. He declined his $50 million per year extension.
Jesus.
to go play for the Brooklyn Nets. He wants to play there. So it's going to get interesting, especially if, say, the Nets do trade for Harden and you've got Kyrie, Harden, and KD. I mean, Steve Nash is the coach. They're going to put up 190 a game and still lose by five. So, I don't know, man. It's going to be interesting. I'm ready for the draft. NBA's official start time is supposed to be December 22nd, so it's a pretty quick turnaround for them. I think free agency starts next week, so it's rolling, man. We're ready to go on.
So is Darko Milicic still available for the Pistons?
Well, okay. He might be, depending on who you
ask. Just doing Detroit things, you know.
Well, and speaking of doing Detroit things, they did trade away Bruce Brown to the Nets for basically a Happy Meal.
So. See, I don't follow the NBA at all, so I don't even know who that is. So.
Yeah, he's a pretty damn good defender for Detroit. Can shoot decently well too. So
yeehaw.
Yeah, so. Yeehaw. But that's all cool. I got, man. All
right, well, let's jump right into our high school playoff stuff. We're not even going to take a break. You guys don't get a breather. We're going to go right now. So. We're diving right into the high school football action from last week because we had some really good stuff, and we want to hit it right now. So our first game we had was Constantine at Buchanan. Constantine continues to roll, 55-28, just a blowout, and their eighth straight win. Like we said, obviously with everything going on right now with COVID and high school sports having to shut down, they're talking about they want to resume these playoffs after this 3-week time window if everything is allowed to open back up. We hope it is so that these kids can get their opportunity because, I mean, you have a couple teams here that have a good shot, and Constantine being one of them, they just really been dominant lately.
Yeah, Jordan, interesting enough in that score, their touchdown runs alone accounted for 328 yards.
I saw
yards.
One kid broke 260-yard runs. I forget his name.
Braden Clark.
There you go. I saw he had 260-yard touchdown runs. I'm like, damn.
Actually, three. All in the first quarter. And then Lucas Hagenbue. I'm sorry. I hope I don't kill your name there, man. 72-yard run. Then Ty Drum had a 61-yarder. I mean, Constantine absolutely just dominated. 444 total.
Safe to say
yards.
That the big plays were an issue for Buchanan, huh?
Yes.
So if and when things do get picked up, Constantine will play Michigan's center, who is also right now they're only 6-1. They had some open spots early in their schedule, but they have won six in a row after losing their first game. And they beat that Jonesville team that we were talking about last week that had upset – I forget who it was, but they had beat somebody. So they beat a tough Jonesville team. So it'll be a tough matchup for Constantine if they can get this season started back up.
Yeah, and to add kind of a feather in a cap for Constantine, this was their first district title win since 2015.
Nice. Well, I know they had a nice little run there for a while where they were at the state finals for like, what, 3 or 4 years in a row. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Let me see. I'm looking real quick if my computer will quit lagging. 2 years in a row, they were in the state title game. So they've been through a little bit of a rut, nothing severe, but this is definitely their best shot at getting back to that state title game since then. So let's hope for the Falcons' sake we can get this thing rolling again. Let's skip the Division 8 first and go down to 8-man. We'll come back to Division 8. So 8-man, okay. Colon at Portland St. Patrick. This, from what I can see, looked like it was a pretty good battle. The Magi fall short 44-34 against Portland St. Patrick. Puts an end to a pretty good season for them. They finished 7-2. Nothing to hang their head about. And Colon being the dominant that they've been lately, I don't see any reason why they won't bounce back from this next year.
Yeah, and Jordan, like you said, it was actually pretty heavy-handed. Colon had led all game, and then Portland St. Patrick finally took the lead with 2 minutes 16 left. And it just sounds like the passing game is really what won it for St. Patrick. Looks like they were 290 to 70, and then rushing yards, Colon dominated, but if you can't control the passing game, I mean, we know that.
Yeah, you can put up points in a hurry through the air that way. And I mean, Portland St. Patrick does remain undefeated, and all things looking like they're one of the teams to beat in the 8-man this year. So I skipped over Division 8 because if you've been following us, you know this is probably the biggest game of the year. I don't really care what division it's in because you had Division 8's number 1 versus Division 8's number 2 in the state. You had Reading coming into Centerville to play, and the Bulldogs, from what I see and what I watched and the highlights I saw, it looked like Centerville just dominated this game.
Yeah, like we were talking a little bit last week, it's just an all-out, just awesome effort. Consistency for Centerville was the key, and, I mean, they surprised a lot of folks. They won their first ever district title this weekend, or last week, and I mean, I'm hoping that they can come back and play in December because this team does seem
team is destined to win a state title. I mean, we said it last week, and we thought that the winner of this game would really be on a fast track to the state title game, and I don't see any reason why not. I mean, Centerville won 32-14, and I watched some highlights and read a little bit about it. It didn't even sound like it was that close, to be honest with you. So
no.
Congratulations to the Bulldogs and the Falcons, both getting the district titles. Let's just hope, like we said, that we can get back out there in a couple weeks and they can finish this run, because I can honestly see both of these teams at least getting to a state title game, and if not, being one of the favorites to win a state title this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
So, I think locally, was that all we had to hit on locally? I think that was all we really had.
Yeah, that was it, man.
Like we said, right now, with everything, with COVID, the state shutdowns, MHSA suspended everything, high school sport-wise. So until that lifts, we probably won't have anything else to touch on local-wise. But if something does come across and if something does happen newsworthy-wise, we will definitely hit it in our upcoming episodes. But I think for now, we can probably put a wrap on our local stuff, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, man. I think we can roll into some pick 'em.
Oh, boy, my favorite time. All right, we're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back.
Everybody, it is time for Jordan's favorite segment of the week. It's not mine right now. I can't get a friggin' win right now. It's the pick 'em segment, but like we said earlier, before we really dive deep into the pick 'em for the week, we are going to break down the disappointing, disheartening, pathetic performances from my Michigan State Spartans and Jordan's Michigan Wolverines. So with that being said, if you guys were not aware, Indiana came into Michigan East Lansing this weekend and blew them out 24-0. So it very much seems like this Michigan State team pretty much spent it all in Ann Arbor 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky Lombardi is not the answer. I think they've given him his due diligence, and I think that's where, again, the importance of this Rutgers game in week one is rearing its ugly head again, that was the time where you could experiment with your team. And now you don't have that, so now you go against Indiana. And it took less than 5 minutes for Lombardi to get pulled for Peyton Thorne. And I think that is the direction they need to go for the rest of the year.
I was going to ask you if you thought it was Thorne or Theo Day.
I think it's Thorne time. Lombardi, for a couple of his first passes, were interceptions. Two of them were. I don't think he's equipped for this style of offense. I think everything with COVID's really hurt this team overall. And I just don't think they're just fully equipped and ready to run this style of offense. Now, that being said, I think play calling needs to get better. But just overall, I mean, defensively, we saw some glimpses of a decent defense against Penix, but still, Indiana came in, did Indiana things. Michael Penix did things, and that was the end result. Granted, State was down three starters. Gervin, Jackson, and Person were all out, but Penix picked on our junior corner and absolutely beat him up. I mean, he threw for 320 yards passing, and 200 of them were to one receiver. So, I mean, it's not good in East Lansing right now. It's just bad. I mean, we knew Michigan State was a bad team coming into this year. Mark D'Antonio did not leave us in a good spot. So, I mean, at this point, I think a win in anything is just a pleasant surprise. I don't know. I don't want to waste too much time talking about them because, I mean, there's not a lot of positive about this team right now. I mean, there's just not.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. The one thing I saw, you already had somebody announce they're transferring.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you see more of that now with players like Mel Tucker basically giving guys the door that aren't fitting what he wants?
I think so.
I mean, it's common with every coaching change.
Yeah, like,
there's always
going
to be that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and I was going to say that's common with any major program shift is you're going to see guys leave, and I think you're going to see more of that. And I think, it's just that way. It's the same way with any league you watch. You get a new skipper in baseball, guys leave. It's just going to be a change. I think until Mel Tucker gets 2-3 years into the program to really get the guys he wants in there, I think you're going to see a lot of it.
Right.
Which is fine by me. Let's get guys in there that want to play in that system, and the guys who want to leave, I don't blame you one bit.
Sure.
Like, you were handed a bad hand and you're making the best of it. So, I mean, I wish them all good luck, but it's something like that doesn't surprise me one bit.
Right. So our two questions then, what's the ceiling for this team and what do they have to do to get there?
Man, right now I think 2 wins. It's the ceiling with how bad they're playing.
Are you saying 2 more or 2 total?
2 total.
Okay. So 1 more.
Yeah.
So you're starting to think my over under at 1 win is starting to look a little more realistic.
And it is. And I mean, if the defense can, again, I think it's a tale of the defense can keep us in games, but the offense can't produce.
Right.
And we went through an entire season like that last year. And that last year's squad was a little more talented. This year is a young squad. That these are going to be character building type games. Now, do I think they could beat Penn State? Yeah, I think that's probably where our second win comes in. But you still got Ohio State. Like, you got some ugly games coming up. Mm-hmm. Northwestern's no slouch.
And they're your kryptonite.
Yeah, and they're our kryptonite. Now, maybe the roles have reversed. We'll see. But I think two wins is the ceiling right now, and the way they get there is they need to develop a competent offense under Peyton Thorne. Is he the guy to get us there? I think he is. But again, he's young, and it's going to take a lot of work. I mean, I'm not overly optimistic right now for this Michigan State team.
Yeah. I mean, we knew it was going to be a tough year coming into this year. Obviously, new coach, D'Antoni left him in a bad spot. Recruiting had been going downhill. And then you throw in COVID and everything else that happened with it. You knew it was going to be a tough year, but I guess I didn't see the offense looking this inept. And I mean, if you take out that performance against Michigan, where basically it was just let's throw it deep and watch Michigan's corners fall on themselves. If you take that performance out, this is like a historically bad offense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, obviously, you can't take it out because it happened. It is a game, and it's at that a point. But I'm just saying, like, everything else that's happened this year has been bad. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll be very curious to see which players make it through this and what the direction is going forward. Like you said, if they got one more win on their schedule, that's good in my opinion. And that might be counting the championship week game. And they are going to be fighting for the last place game at this point.
Yeah, very much so.
And it's ironic that the three teams fighting for the last place game in the East are Michigan, Penn State, and Michigan State. Right. Anybody would have bet money that wouldn't have been the case, but
2020 is wild,
yeah,
y'all.
That's no joke. So, you got any other thoughts on Michigan State, or is it my turn now?
I think it's your turn, man. I'm interested to hear about what you think of Michigan football.
So, yeah, I kind of teased Lane before we started off air here, and I said, you know, I'm going to have a little bit of a different perspective this week than what I've been portraying these last few weeks. And if you've been listening, you've been following, I've been pretty negative. And I think that I've been merited and it's warranted in my negativity. And I've really had a lot of time to kind of sit back and just think and analyze and really take into perspective everything that's happening with this Michigan team. I mean, obviously we all saw what happened. The entire country saw what happened against Wisconsin, losing 49-11, the worst loss in the Big House in like 75 years or something like, or I think it might've been ever. Mm-hmm. It was horrible. It was a pathetic performance. Joe Milton gets benched. Cade McNamara comes in, actually looked pretty solid. And now Jim Harbaugh says there's a quarterback battle. I mean, so we don't know who's starting Saturday against Rutgers. You didn't see a whole lot of fight from this team, which is depressing. You didn't see a whole lot of heart. You did see after Cade led that touchdown drive, you saw a little bit on the defense, but then the coaching set them up for failure and tried to block a punt penalty. And Wisconsin then takes the ball and drives right back down the field. It's just like you can't quit shooting yourself in the foot. But I want to throw a couple things out here to all the Michigan fans that are down the dumps. And just consider this when we talk about this team and everything that's going forward. So Michigan's 1-3 this year. And there's a few key things here that really have led to it. They have the least returning production in the entire Big Ten. They had a lot of players drafted last year, at the end of last year. I mean, a lot. Behind Ohio State, I think they were second in the Big Ten in players drafted. And on that note, 16 first-year starters played last week against Wisconsin. 16.
Yeah, that's tough.
When you have 16 guys of your 22 that is their first year starting, that's massive. And your top five players from this team did not play. And that's including Nico Collins and Ambry Thomas. Jalen Mayfield didn't play. Ryan Hayes didn't play. Quiddy Pay didn't play. Aiden Hutchinson didn't play. That's arguably your six best players did not play in this game. Find me a team not named Ohio State that loses their six best players and looks good. It doesn't happen very often. Poor coaching, obviously. And just the dumb mental mistakes, obviously. Those are things that contribute to this start. Now, some of those things are correctable by coaching. The mistakes, that's just discipline, and that can happen. But you can't really correct the youth. That takes time. So my caution here to the Michigan fans is let's just be patient. Yes, this season is disappointing. Yes, the Michigan State loss, in my opinion, is still a fireable offense. But at this point, Indiana and Wisconsin are ranked in the top 10. They do look like they are pretty good teams. Now, we will find out more about both of them this week as Indiana plays Ohio State and Wisconsin plays Northwestern. But they do look like good teams. You have Rutgers on the road, then Penn State, Maryland, Ohio State. You will probably be favored in the next three games. And if you can win the next three games, now you're sitting at 4-3 going into Ohio State with nothing to lose. So anybody that follows recruiting, and I'm a recruiting nut, those of you that know, I did the recruiting podcast for basketball. It was a big recruiting weekend this weekend. And there were a lot of recruits that showed up on their own dime, and did a visit. And all of the reviews from that visit are going amazingly. Like, these players are not deterred by the fact that Michigan's struggling right now. That's a good sign. That means that the players and the kids that build this program still see that Michigan can be something good. There does need to be changes. No doubt about it. Wholesale changes, in my opinion. I'm starting to get back on the fence of maybe Jim Harbaugh gets one more year. Because I'm afraid if you lose him right now, you potentially take two recruiting classes that could be extremely good recruiting classes and wash them down the drain. I do think defensively, Don Brown has got to go. Now, obviously they won't fire him in the middle of the year. That's not the Michigan way. They won't do it, but he needs to go. And I would like to see some shakeup in the other coaching staffs. We'll get to that another day. No reason to dive all the way into that. But having said that, there is hope and optimism to be seen with this team. Like I said, the next three games are significantly less opponents than what you've seen previously. You can argue that the next three teams that you play are the three worst teams that you will see. Minnesota, jury's still out on that. We don't really know. But Rutgers, Penn State, Maryland. Yes, Rutgers beat Michigan State, but Michigan State kind of gave that to them. I mean, Penn State looks horrible. Maryland, we don't really know about either. Are they good or are they bad? We'll find out more. But I'm just saying there's hope and there's optimism to still be had with this team. So we talked about ceiling and what it takes to achieve that. My opinion, the ceiling is 500, 4-4. Can you get to 4-4? And what needs to change is you need an identity on offense. I understand we want to run the ball. I understand that it's Jim Harbaugh and he wants to run the ball. But the identity that you want to have of running between the tackles is not who you need to be. So I'm not a Division I coach. I don't have the answers. But what needs to happen is the offense needs an identity. Can the offense decide who they want to be and stick to it? I don't know whether it's Joe Milton. I don't know whether it's Cade McNamara. Find your identity and stick to it. That's what the offense needs to do. The defense has just got to quit making mistakes. I mean, you're gutted up front with Kwity and Aiden, and it probably, let's be honest, Kwity's probably not playing again this week. So the defense just got to quit making mistakes and grow and get better because there's a lot of youth that's playing right now. So, summarized, Michigan fans, take a deep breath. Decompress a little bit. And if you need something to listen to make you feel more optimistic, I urge every single one of you to listen to what J.J. McCarthy said, the Michigan's five-star quarterback commit for next year. Listen to what he said. He recorded with Sam Webb before the game Saturday, and that kid embodies everything that is Michigan. And if you can't get behind his statements, then you probably shouldn't be a Michigan fan.
Ooh.
So
that's bold. That's bold, man.
So, yeah. I mean, like I said, ceiling's 4-4, and you need to figure out who you are. Establish an identity, and you can get there. It's very – 4-4 is extremely achievable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. And I think 4-4 is highly achievable, and in all reality, you probably will get there. But what worries me, though, is that continually we do see Michigan as a whole continue to hinge on Jim Harbaugh's recruiting classes. that, yeah, he turns out lights out recruiting classes every year, and he's done that every year since he's been there. But at what point are these recruits winning you more ball games? I mean, I get where you're coming from. Like, I totally do. But for me, I'm going to compare it to the Lions situation, is that you have a coach that has been heralded the one to save the program. Now, Jim Harbaugh undoubtedly has had much more success than Matt Patricia has. Don't get me wrong. But you're looking at, for example, another 500 year, not a Big Ten title, finishing probably, what, third in the East? Again, but you're getting the players, you're getting what you need, but you're still not getting the results. So at the end of the day, the question then becomes, when is it not good enough? And to me, I'd be starting to get impatient. But that's my opinion. I mean, I understand your optimism on that, but I mean, we're in the same shoes last year with Mark D'Antonio, and I see a lot of the same situation. I just see you've got the recruits, you've got the players, and you're just not getting the results.
No, and I get it completely. The one argument I will have on the recruiting front, because like I said, I'm a recruiting guy. You are correct about everything with recruiting, where Jim Harbaugh has landed excellent recruiting classes, with the exception of one class. The 2018 class ranked 25th or 22nd, I believe it was, actually, in the country. So, And that's the class that's predominantly playing. And if you look at that class, so I've got it pulled up right now. So let's run down these players that are the top recruits from the 2018 class. Aiden Hutchinson, Cameron McGrone. So you have two starters. One of them's talked about as a first-round pick, and the other one will be drafted. And you have Mustafa Muhammad and Miles Sims, both of which aren't with the program anymore, have transferred out. And you have Joe Milton, who we've seen that. We don't really know what he is yet. Jalen Mayfield, who some regards has talked about as a first-round pick. Ryan Hayes, your other tackle. Now, what's the key piece here with all that? Hutchinson didn't play. Mayfield didn't play. Hayes didn't play. McGrone's hurt. Milton got benched. And the other two aren't even on the team anymore. And that's your worst recruiting class that he's had. So those are the guys that are predominantly in rotation. Let's go to the bottom of that recruiting class. Ronnie Bell, Hassan Haskins, and Michael Barrett and Vincent Gray are at the bottom of that class. Those are names of guys that you hear that are playing, but also Vincent Gray has been getting exposed. Hassan Haskins has been, like, praised, but hasn't got as much run. I mean, this class is the class that you're seeing predominantly playing more, because the 17 class was so good that they took the 18 class as a developmental. There was a lot of developmental guys in it. Well, the problem with 17 was they all went pro early. You lost Donovan Peoples-Jones and Cesar Ruiz early. You lost Aubrey Solomon and Drew Singleton to transfer. Ambry Thomas opted out. Jordan Anthony transferred. Chuck Filiaga's starting on the offensive line. Tariq Black transferred. Dylan McCaffrey transferred. Nico Collins opted out. Oliver Martin transferred. So, I mean, yes, these recruiting classes are good, but these kids aren't sticking around. So whether it's a culture thing or whether it's something else, I don't know. Now, granted, some of it's development. I mean, a lot of these guys are in the NFL now and will be. Like, Ambry's going to be. Nico's going to be. But why they aren't sticking around is maybe it's a coaching thing. We don't know. But that's what goes back to the whole thing of there's a lot of youth on this team that's starting right now. So
it's fair.
Like I said, ceiling's 4-4. Can they get there? I don't know. We'll see.
No, that's a very good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. And I mean, for Michigan, what'd you say? They finished 22nd ranked class. Yeah. In most schools, that's like
they've been top 10 every other year.
So, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, at Michigan State, I would take a 22 ranked class anytime. So, I mean, no, I get it. That's all solid points, man.
Okay. So what do you think? Should we roll into our pick 'em now then?
Let's do some pick 'em, man.
So let me pull over, make sure I got the right sheet up here. So results, we have a total of Jordan's 18-7. Lane sits at 14-11. Last week, both of us went 4-2 with the one cancel game, Ohio State, and Maryland because of COVID. And then I lost Penn State and Nebraska, and we both lost Rutgers, and then Lane lost the Michigan pick. So going into this week, I guess let's just dive right in. Friday let's night, Purdue at Minnesota. Minnesota's been a team struggling at home at night, though. I'm still gonna take Purdue, but I think the Gophers can make this game close, and they may pull the upset here.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with you, Jordan. I'm gonna take Boilermakers as well. I think they're just a better
Saturday
team
right at now. Noon. Michigan State travels to Maryland. You got to think this is one of the games where if you're gonna hit that over, we talked about this might be it. What do you think?
Until they prove me otherwise,
yeah, I'm kind of the same boat. I want to see what Maryland really is because, you know, we've had Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in their two games. So Saturday at noon, also, Illinois goes to Nebraska. Nebraska off of their first win this year against Penn State. I will take the Huskers. I just think Illinois is the bottom of the Big Ten West.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I'm going to take Portland.
One of the big games this week, also at noon, this will be the game I'll have on, Indiana at Ohio State. Ohio State is plus 21 in this game. Minus 21 in this game. So Indiana's getting 21 points. I might take those points. That's a lot of points. Ohio State's been off a week. I mean, I'm taking Ohio State, but I might take Indiana with the points.
Yeah. I'm going to take Ohio State as well, but I could definitely see Indiana coming out hot, guns blazing, and
they're going to come out hot
in Ohio
sure.
State.
Saturday 3:30, mm-hmm. Iowa goes to Penn State. Penn State is just in a dumpster fire right now, like Michigan and Michigan State. Where are you at with this one?
This is just the game of the week. I'm going to take Iowa on the road. I haven't seen anything for Penn State to make me think that they're going to be a competent squad.
Yeah. So I have Iowa as well. I just think this is the team that you trust more right now. The other big game of the week, 3:30, Wisconsin at Northwestern. You got to think the winner here is in the driver's seat to win the Big Ten West. I'm going to take Northwestern. I like what Pat Fitzgerald's done. They're very consistent. I think I like the Wildcats here.
You see, and this is a game that I could feel very much as a trap game for Wisconsin. Just coming off that high of the big win at the Big House last weekend. But I'm going to take Wisconsin because I just think overall they are a better squad.
And then for some reason, the night game is Michigan at Rutgers. I, for the life of me, can't understand why they didn't push Northwestern and Wisconsin to the night game, but they didn't. I will take Michigan in this game. I don't have the confidence that I would like, obviously, with it being Rutgers, but I think my monologue in the previous segment kind of says all I need to say about it. I'm going to take Michigan, and I hope that we can see this team start to turn a corner.
Yeah, I'm with you too, Jordan. I'm gonna take Michigan as well. I just think week one against Michigan State, you turn the ball over six times, like you should win that ball game every time. Rutgers is a team that's on the rise, but I just think overall the athletes for Michigan are just too much. So I'm gonna take Wolverines as well.
So looking back at it, we only have one game difference, so the lead for the season will not change. But can Lane cut into the deficit? We will see. He's going to be on the Badgers. All right, everybody, welcome back in. We are going to hit our final segment of the day. We are going to talk a little bit about how the Lions just can't seem to get out of their own way and keep messing things up. This time they do it in the fashion of winning 30-27 over the Washington football team. Further ruining their draft pick. What did we say, Lane? You saw they were 15th now in the draft position if it were to end today?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Awesome. So why don't you go ahead, give us the recap, the breakdown, your thoughts on the Lions?
You know, it's so we watched the game. Lions come out to a pretty sizable lead against Washington. And Lions doing what Matt Patricia does, and they blew a double-digit lead, and Washington essentially ties it up, and it looks like it's all the writings in the stars for Alex Smith to have his first game back in the NFL and lead a comeback victory for the football team to defeat the Lions, and it just seemed like everything was aligned. But then Matt Stafford happened and led them with 16 seconds left down the field on the number one ranked pass defense, mind you, in the NFL to set up Matt Prater to drill a 59-yard field goal to win the game. Again, I don't know what this Lions team is. They might be the most maddening team to watch in all of the NFL.
That's an understatement.
Because you look at their next two games, they play Carolina this weekend, the Panthers, which seem to now have no teeth because McCaffrey is out. And it looks like by all case that Teddy Bridgewater will be out. So that leaves them down to, I believe, Will Greer would be their starter. And it looks like it's prime for a Lions victory to get to 500. And then they play the Texans on Thanksgiving. And we know the Texans are an absolute dumpster fire this year. Which would get them to 6-5 over 500. And what's insane about how bad this team is, they're only a game and a half out of a playoff spot right now, which is hard to believe because the NFL has expanded their wild card game, like bracket scenarios by one team. So now there's seven teams that make the playoffs for each side. Again, I don't know what this team is. Stafford looked good. I mean, the play calling is still questionable. I think the best thing that happened all weekend is they finally woke up and said, hey, we need to start DeAndre Swift. And DeAndre Swift absolutely balled out. He brought energy. He brought life to that team. I still think after this weekend's performance, I think Matt Patricia and Daryl Bevel and Corey Unlin all need to be fired. Washington offensively is not a good team. Outside of Terry McLaurin and Antonio Gibson, that's it. Like, that team is not good. And they handled the defense well. There's some questionable calls against Trufant, which if you follow Trufant throughout his career, he's a very handsy, physical type corner. And they nailed him on it. And throughout history of his career, he gets nailed on a lot of pass interference calls, a lot of defensive holdings. And it rang true again Sunday. This upcoming weekend against Carolina, like I said, there's no McCaffrey. So, I mean, that's a huge sigh of relief. But they're also loaded at receiver with playmakers between DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, and Curtis Samuel. And Curtis Samuel has kind of been, for Matt Rhule, a Swiss Army knife. They've had him rush, they've had him receive, they've had him throw. I mean, it's not going to be an easy game. The defense for Carolina is not good. That's the positive. Their rush defense is god awful, and DeAndre Swift is showing every reason why he should have been the starter since day one. So I look at this team and I wonder what's going to happen because they finished 6-5. They very well might be in a playoff, that final wild card spot at this point. I don't know if they should be. it's hard, man, because like you want your team to win. Like I want the Lions to make the playoffs more than anything, but I want them to make the playoffs and compete. I don't want them to make the playoffs and get the doors blown off of them by Green Bay or Seattle or somebody like that. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword, man. They're going to make me drink.
Well, Michigan's been doing that to me for years, so.
Well, that's fair.
I don't know. I've been on the bandwagon of tanking for a while. I just think this team has so many holes that it's just there's not the benefits of making the postseason. That just, like you said, they're going to make the playoffs just to get their ass whooped. I mean, doesn't seem like a good idea.
No, and I mean, it's unless they can figure it all out in week 11, I don't see it happening though. I mean, you have 6 weeks left after this and you're at Thanksgiving. I think if they finish 500, I think Matt Patricia should be let go. I think anything under 9-7 is fireable with him. But what'll happen is they'll finish 7-9, 8-8, and they'll say, ah, there's some improvement there, and they'll keep him one more year. And then it'll be another dragged out year and another wasted year for Matt Stafford. So,
It's writing's on the wall for sure.
I mean, it's the definition of insanity is doing the same task over and over again and expecting different results. And this is what the Lions are.
So that's just the Lions franchise right now. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, man. I want to see him win. I want to see him keep doing well. But right now they're still, I believe, last in the NFC North because they don't have a division win. No, Minnesota's ahead of them. Nah, they're tight. Nah, I think they're behind. Anyways, but they've got some obstacles to overcome. The Bears aren't a good team. Minnesota is starting to turn it on. And Green Bay is Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers is having an MVP caliber season. So it's a long road. What will happen is we'll finish 7-9 and we'll draft 16th, and we'll end up drafting somebody, and we'll have an Aaron Donald sitting there, and we won't take him, and we'll just take an Eric Ebron or somebody like that. But I'm being optimistic because for a while it was sadly mock draft season. I'm trying to stay away from that right now because I'm trying to be optimistic. Optimism is the word, Jordan. Optimism.
Yeah, well, for the day. Hey, I was optimistic about Michigan. You're allowed to be optimistic about the Lions.
See, that's fair.
So you gotta, see, that's fair. Have yin to the yang sometimes, right?
Yin yang twins?
Wu-Tang Clan.
Oh man, I could.
Nah, yeah, let's try to keep it somewhat
PG. Wow. I think we've done pretty good this week.
Yeah, I haven't swore. I haven't swore at all. I don't think
I've said it either. Yeah. Wow,
I might have to drop one in here just to keep our E rating.
Yeah, personal growth though.
Yeah, fair. All right, you got anything else on the Lions, or do you want to just wrap this up for the week?
Nah, man, I don't have too much more. We'll see what happens. I think they do beat Carolina, but I don't see why they would win it in a big way. So I'm going to take them 31-28. You heard it here first.
Mic drop on that one.
Bingo.
All righty, folks. Well, thank you again for listening. You know what? One more quick little plug. I know I mentioned it briefly earlier, but if you have not checked out my little quick 20-minute recruiting special pod I did earlier this week, spur of the moment, just decided I'd drop a little thing with recapping the college basketball recruiting early signing period that just passed. If you're a basketball fan, it's a nice little listen, kind of give you a preview to the players that you'll be seeing in the next coming seasons for the Wolverines and the Spartans.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, just to really echo what Jordan said, Jordan did a really good job on it. Like you said, it's quick, easy listen. I learned a lot, and I mean I'm a Michigan State fan. So if you want to learn about recruiting, listen to Jordan because he knows what he's talking about.
Recruiting's fun. So, all righty, before we go too much further, thank you guys again for listening. Please like us. Share, tweet, retweet, everything about us you can do. Tell a friend. Follow the Watershed Voice. Get yourself a subscription. Do follow us and rate us and review us on all the platforms for these podcasts. We greatly appreciate it. And like I always say, the biggest thing you could do is just tell a friend. Tell one person that likes sports about us. Maybe they'll listen. Maybe they tell somebody, then it grows. Anything you can do just greatly helps us. So, Lane, any other closing thoughts there?
Nope, just a friendly reminder. We are not going to be recording next week because of the Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah.
So we will be taking a little bit of time off, but we will be back, which is hard to believe, hard to say, the first week of December. with some more updates on college football, kind of we stay where we're at. I think Jordan probably will still do pick 'em just to keep them going. We'll post our picks though, maybe online.
Yeah, we can do that.
So we can just keep it rolling. But yeah, stay tuned to our social media pages. We'll keep posting stuff. I think probably tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, I think I'll do just a small NBA mock draft before the draft, just throw it out there, see what people's thoughts are. Call me an idiot. Call me whatever. But, yeah, like Jordan said, thank you, guys. I hope you all have a very happy Thanksgiving. Be safe. Take care of each other. And we'll see you later. Go green.
Go blue.
and hold me back.